There's nothing like talk of a massive tax overhaul to cause elation in some sectors, despair in others, and confusion more or less across the board. Despite promises that tax cuts would benefit the middle class, many independent sources seem to be saying rather the opposite. The rich would benefit, people on society's bottom rung would suffer. We'd want to find out how accurate that is, and we're hoping Tom Yamachika, president of this Tax Foundation of Hawaii, can help us make sense of it all. Tom, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much, Chris.
What is it that the administration and the Republican tax plan want to accomplish? What's the, you know, how do you sum up what that tax plan would be?
Well, what they're trying to do is basically overhaul the tax code, make it, I think a lot of it is directed at the business side to make it more internationally competitive, because right now we have some features in our tax code that make it uncompetitive internationally, whereas in most countries, you know, most of the OECD countries, the ones that are developed, they basically have, with a business that's operating in more than one country, mm-hmm. they let the country that the business is operating in tax the business, and then the home country, if you will, of that multinational group, doesn't step in and add more. Mm-hmm. Ours does. I mean, when the multinational has a headquarters in the United States, the U.S. federal tax kind of layers on top of the taxes that are paid by the businesses in the other countries, and adds an additional burden to them.
So if you want to operate offshore, you'll never be entirely free of U.S. taxes under the current tax code. Yeah,
that's correct.
So how do you get around that? I mean, just simply abolishing that provision?
That's what they're planning to do. They're trying to basically scrap it and go to a what they call a territorial tax system, which is similar to what the other OECD countries have.
Argument being what? That the current U.S. system is a disincentive to business?
That's correct.
Businesses respond to that how? By just simply uprooting and getting out of the country?
A lot of them do that. It's called businesses expatriating. You've heard about that concept in the news every so often. Mm-hmm. That's what they've been doing. They pull out, they reincorporate in some place more tax friendly, like Bermuda or the Channel Islands or places like that.
So, having abolished that provision, how do you create an incentive for them to come back?
Well, the businesses that have already relocated. Well, that's kind of when the normal economic types of competition comes in. I mean, you can have the U.S. Make the pitch that they have a better, smarter, more talented workforce, or they have a better, more developed legal system, or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But off the tax arena.
The question that's going to be uppermost in everybody's mind when they talk about a tax overhaul is what happens to me.
Of course,
right? based on their income. And so, a person at a moderate income, and I'm not even sure how a moderate income would be defined in Hawaii, but what's likely, let's pick a figure for a moderate income in Hawaii and figure out what would the possible impact be.
Well, I've seen some analyses done, not by us, but the Tax Foundation in Washington, saying that there would be, a modest but broad-based, relief. A lessening of the federal tax burden, kind of across the board, and I've seen like a number of politically energized commentators say, well, geez, that means we're giving a massive tax cut to the rich, mm-hmm. right? But the reality is that the and at least according to the Office of Management and Budget, which is a federal nonpartisan agency, the top quintile of income earners in the U.S. pay 95% of their taxes, 95%. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to do any kind of tax cut, it's got to trickle up.
So almost every kind of tax cut you would enact it benefits the rich. It sounds as if you could hardly do a tax cut without people saying that it's a tax cut that benefits the rich. That's where most of the money is.
That's right. I mean, you look at the lowest quintile, federal government pays them on average. The next quintile, it's kind of, you know, the numbers are very small.
Mm-hmm.
Middle class, yeah, they start paying in, and then the upper quintile is the one that pays the tax.
So by making a tax cut across the board, everybody's got a little more money, they go out and spend it, and the rising tide lifts all boats. Is that the philosophy?
Right. I mean, businesses make more, they hire more people, they produce more things, they sell more, you know, the economic engine starts, getting more fuel and revs up, and the economic engine is what produces all revenue in the first place.
Has that equation been verified by past experience? You know, tax cut benefits middle class spends, everybody wins. Is that, you know, are there data to back that up?
Again, depending on who you believe, yes, there is. I think there's a, you know, strong sentiment that, you know, during, the mid-1980s, when the Reagan overhaul took place, there was some boost in economic activity. The Tax Foundation in Washington, they say they have an economic model that is able to predict the economic activity with a reasonable amount of accuracy, and they are saying that that'll happen if the currently proposed tax plan is enacted in anything close to its current form.
This is what was referred to in the 80s as trickle down. It really does trickle down.
Yes.
So that's a verifiable benefit of a tax cut. Question that always arises also in a tax cut is, does it leave the nation with enough funds to operate?
Well, again, that's a question of, what do you need to operate? If you give more money to government, they'll spend it.
Yeah, that's been shown to be true.
Yeah.
No argument there.
Yeah, so the question then becomes, well, what's the right size of government?
Mm-hmm.
I heard Representative Gabbard just talking about how, you know, trillions of dollars was spent on defense efforts, and she thinks unwisely. There are, of course, people who don't share that view, but there is certainly going to be a substantial divergence of opinion on, you know, how much money is necessary to run government.
We'll just have to see, I guess. Thanks very much for talking with us, Tom.
Thank you.
Tom Yamachika is the president of the Tax Foundation of Hawaii, and you can find links to an additional analysis of the Republican tax plan on our Facebook page, The Conversation.